Peace and mercy are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So we've been thinking about remembering this Lent. So how do you remember things? For years, I used a little calendar by the Aid Association of Lutherans. Remember those folks? You may have seen a calendar like this on your pastor's desk at one time. The only problem with that calendar, although it was free, which was the good thing, is that the calendar that had the whole month on it, which was the calendar that was easiest for me to use, only had a little bit of room to write in the block for each day, but there was always more to put in. And so I started adding notes with paper clips, and it just got to be more and more of a mess, and things were always getting lost. And then a friend told me about the Franklin Day Planner. And anybody ever use one of those? Some hands? Okay. Yeah, that didn't last long for me. They were expensive, at least I thought so, but they also required a whole system for using the planner with prioritizing tasks, highlighting things in different colors, and a whole bunch of other things that my ADD brain just couldn't go for. But then a friend told me about this cool new technology called a Palm Pilot. Now, the only problem with that is that it cost about $200. A lot of money for a pastor with three kids in the late 90s. But when I finally broke down, or rather, broke Janet down, and bought one, I thought I'd died and gone to heaven. This was perfect. Everything was right there in this one little handheld device that I could also sync to my computer. It would even alert me when an appointment was coming up. It radically changed the way I looked at my workday, and I used one of those for years. In fact, I even got Janet to use one. I gave her my old one when I got a new one. These are actually the pictures of the two. Well, actually, I probably had about two between those two. But of course, now I use my smartphone. You know, it's basically a Palm Pilot with the ability for people to bother you while you're trying to work. But for some reason, I just can't convince Lucas to use his. And I can't for the life of me understand why. Having something like that just changed the way I looked at my life and looked at my day. It would make my life so much easier if he would use it. Well, that's one way of remembering things, having something outside of you kind of give you that little kick to remind you what's going on. There is also the old school way, normally an unintended way of remembering things. When the smoke alarm goes off, I remember that I left something in the oven. Or when the chime sounds, I remember I was supposed to put gas in the car. And in the case of today's text, when the rooster crowed, Peter remembered the words that Jesus said. As I said in our midweek services, we're looking at the way the Bible uses the word remember. Remembering in the Bible is both the thought in the mind as well as the action that follows. In our text tonight, Peter remembered something Jesus said, and then he did something. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter, and Peter remembered the saying of the Lord. Before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times. And he went out and wept bitterly. The rooster crowed. Peter remembered Jesus' words. Those words showed Peter his sin, and he wept bitterly. And ultimately, the power of Jesus' words empowered Peter to repent. And that's our theme tonight. God causes us to remember his word so that we repent. You know, Peter started out that evening with really good intentions. It was Maundy Thursday. And Mark records those events this way in his gospel. It's after the meal, they all went off toward the Mount of Olives where the Garden of Gethsemane was located. And along the way, Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away." But Peter said, even though they all fall away, I will not. And that's when Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." But Peter was adamant. He said emphatically, if I must die with you, I will not deny you. Now, I'm sure he believed what he was saying. I'm sure he had every intention to keep that promise. But when the time came, he fell woefully short. Fortunately for us, however, Jesus had the power to keep his word. He would keep his word, and he would be denied, deserted, and crucified. Every year, as Easter draws near, one documentary after another shows up on various television channels claiming to tell the real story of this Jesus guy. And almost every one of them tries to discount or disprove various aspects of the gospel records. Rather than reading and seeing the power of God's word, many read it looking to find some weakness, some way to disprove it. And regarding this event, some point out that, well, one gospel says the rooster crows twice, and another gospel says it crowed once. And there are even those who say that the whole thing must be false because chickens weren't allowed in Jerusalem. That sounds kind of strange. But, sure enough, the written version of the ancient Jewish laws called the Mishnah declares this: it is forbidden to raise fowl in Jerusalem. So they see these things and they conclude that the Bible contradicts itself. It's just obviously wrong. Well, that in turn causes all kinds of other people to come up with various ways of defending the Bible. Some of them are pretty good. Some of them are kind of weird. But there's been one theory that's been thrown around, that the saying about the rooster crowing refers to a man speaking in such a way that his wife refers to him as that old rooster. Others suggest that the rooster crow is actually a specific time reference, and that actually has some plausibility. Jesus himself, in talking about his return in glory in Mark 13, says that his return may come in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows. And it may well be that a specific time, like 3 in the morning, was known as when the rooster crows. We don't know for sure. But I think the clearest reading is simply that Peter heard an actual rooster crow, remembered what Jesus said, and left brokenhearted, but not in despair. And I say that because, unlike Judas, Peter didn't take his life. Instead, he trusted what Jesus had preached and trusted the love that he'd been shown for the past 3 years. So what about us? What does God send to us so we remember his word and repent? Well, strange theory, but in a very real way, it's my job as your pastor to be that rooster, that man who says something in such a way that he's called that old rooster. Now, some might find it all too easy to make the connection between a rooster crowing and my preaching in the sense of loud and irritating noise, or worse, more like a lullaby. But the reason I say it's my job to be that rooster is because as your pastor, I'm to speak and apply God's law in my sermons. Preaching the law is a necessary part of preaching all of God's word, especially if the goal is that his word will do what God sends it to do, which is always to be our goal. Now, you may remember from your catechism that the law is a mirror to show us our sin. And as God's law is held up in front of us, it has the power to show us what we're really like, how sinful we are, how we've sinned against God in thought, word, and deed. St. Paul said that through the law comes knowledge of sin. It doesn't cause us to stop sinning, but it gives us knowledge of sin. And James actually refers to a mirror when he writes, "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he is like. Remember what I said earlier. When remember is used in the Bible, it involves both the thought in the mind and a resulting action. And when God shows us our sins in the mirror of his law, his intent is to cause us repentance. But when he shows us our sins and we refuse to recognize they apply to us, it's like looking away from a mirror and forgetting what we saw because we don't like what we see. I think it'd be rather nice to have something a little more flashy, maybe a spiritual Palm Pilot of some sort, than simply hearing God's law from his pulpit or reading it in his word, or maybe like hearing a rooster crow. Imagine that. What if every time God brought our sin to mind, a rooster would crow? It would sure get noisy. And it would certainly be irritating. But it also might be effective. But God doesn't do that. He simply sends us his word with his power, the power of his word, and the word does its work, and repentance happens. You know, so often things like the law and sin and repentance sound so negative. But repentance is actually a good thing. We can be glad that God calls us to repentance. In the Gospel of Luke, in fact, Jesus said, in terms of the kingdom being declared, is that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed. See, repentance and forgiveness go hand in hand. And what empowers us to repent and confess our sins is the fact that God is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, after showing Peter his sins, God didn't go to him and remind him of his denial or demand that he do something to show how truly sorry he was. Instead, Jesus forgave and restored Peter. At the end of the Gospel of John, Peter is sitting around a charcoal fire with Jesus and some of the other disciples. And three times, Jesus asks Peter if he loved him. And Jesus didn't need to say, "Hey, remember that time not too long ago when you were standing around another fire warming yourself? And you were asked three times if you knew me? Didn't do very well, did you?" He didn't need to do that. Peter knew full well. And I would imagine it was still breaking his heart. But instead of shaming Peter or disowning him or making him win back his credibility, Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep." And then Jesus said the same words that he had said to Peter when he first called him, "Follow me." See, there was no need to rub Peter's nose in his denial. That would have only led to hurt, anger, and shame. What Peter needed to hear was that what's forgiven is gone, as far as the east is from the west. Sin forgiven is sin forgotten. Maybe Peter had that time around the fire in mind when he wrote in his first epistle, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so at the proper time he may exalt you." That time between his denial and his restoration must have been filled with bitter tears. But it likely also gave him the ability to confidently write this just a few verses after that last verse. "And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you." The sting of the law is a good thing for us. It crows to make us remember that we have sinned and that we need God's forgiveness. So God uses that law to show us our sin and bring us to repentance. In other words, to turn back to Him, to quit looking at ourselves and quit looking away from God for ways to save ourselves, and turn back to Him and look to Him as the Savior. There we will find grace and forgiveness. But His forgiveness doesn't simply cross out or smudge the chalk off the slate of your mind and heart so it can't be read. When God forgives our sins, He wipes that slate completely clean and writes, "You are my beloved child." In forgiveness, He restores us and empowers us to live for Him again and again and again. When we moved here to Caldwell, I was surprised that driving down the streets, I saw chickens running around in the yards of people. When we moved into our subdivision, there was a thing in the HOA about no fowl in the HOA. More and more cities have ordinances that, while they do allow people to keep chickens, because of the unwanted noise, most don't allow roosters. And of course, Jewish law said roosters weren't welcome in Jerusalem. But you know who was in town in Jerusalem that week? The Romans. And history tells us how much they liked their eggs. If you don't believe me, Google ancient Romans and eggs. You won't believe how many articles you'll find. Maybe God used a pagan Roman rooster to crow at Peter. But whoever's rooster it was, God used it. He used it to cause Peter to remember the words of Jesus so that he might repent, receive forgiveness, and be restored as a forgiven servant of God. God will do whatever it takes to bring us His gifts of love. So remember God's words to you. Remember Jesus' words to you tonight, the next time your sin is shown to you. And look closely at that sin in all of its ugliness and own it. Admit it. Confess it. And then remember Jesus' words again. Words which will empower you to confidently turn to Him and to receive again His promise of forgiveness and life. Amen.